Little roller up along first. Behind the bag. It gets through Buckner. Here comes Knight, and the Mets win it.
A 2-1 pitch. And a drive in the air to deep right field. That ball headed toward the wall. That ball is out of here. Out of here. A game-winning grand slam home run off the bat of Robin Ventura.
And it's hit deep to left center. Andrew Jones on the run. This one has a chance. Home run. Mike Piazza. And the Mets lead 3-2.
Turner drives one to center, chasing Nimmo back to the warning track right at the fence. He made the catch! Oh, wow! The catch of the year for Brandon Nimmo! He took a home run away from Justin Turner!
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? The show starts in 10, 9,
Episode 34. Welcome to the Shea Hello Podcast. My name is Casey Lynn, and again, welcome to the Shea Hello Podcast. Please subscribe on YouTube at Shea Hello Media and follow us audio-wise wherever you get your podcasts. We are on all platforms. I will be flying solo today, as my co-host, former major leaguer and former Met, Bill Pulsifer, is off this week. He will be back next week. To our regular users, obviously, the last couple of weeks, we have not recorded the Shea Hello Podcast. I was on the IL. I'm on the mend, and we are back. Unfortunately, Bill is not here. So again, I am flying solo. I want to shout out Stephen White, our producer behind the scenes. He is here with us, making everything as smooth as possible. So I hope everyone is doing well. It's been about 2 weeks. We did record episode 33 2 weeks ago, so there's a lot to catch up with in Mets land. And as we always do on the Shea Hello Podcast, this being episode 34, we go through numbers of Mets who have worn that number. So without further ado, Mets who have worn number 34 in Mets history, there's some pretty good names on here. Cleon Jones wore it in 1963. Hall of Famer Nolan Ryan in 66. And then you have to go to notable names I'm doing, by the way. You all remember Chris Benson, 04-05, he wore number 34. And then Big Pelf, Mike Pelfrey, wore number 34 all the way from 06 to 2000. And 12, then you have to go to 15 to 2021, and it was Noah Syndergaard. We all remember 34 on his jersey. And the most recent, Tommy Hunter, who's now retired, reliever for the Mets, wore it 2022. And, of course, now he's on the IL. We'll talk about it later. Kodai Senga wears number 34. So pretty good list. 34, big number. Yeah, I would say more for pitchers as I read that, as you can see. We're going to dabble into a lot here on the Shea Hello Podcast. Again, like, follow, share, and please hit that subscribe button on YouTube, Shea Hello Media, as we are approaching 500 subscribers, a big goal of ours, as we're just getting underway here. We appreciate your support and feedback. Again, we're going to dabble into Kodai Senga, who had a little bit of what he doesn't call a setback. We'll get into that later. We're also going to talk about the anemic offense to present day, the pitching, also some big moves in Mets land that the Mets and David Stearns made. We're also going to talk about David Stearns, as we're about a quarter of the way into the season, about 40 games or so, and of course 162 games in the full season. So that's a good measuring stick, if you will, of where we are. Usually Memorial Day, which is the end of May, is that big measuring stick where you really know your team. But with the Mets, as we'll go and talk about, it's a little bit of turnover. And by a little bit, I mean a lot of it. So we'll talk about that as well. We'll get to the mailbag questions. They were sent in, and I will read the answers from Bill and myself. Again, Bill will be back with us next week. And we will not have quick pitches today. Of course, I asked Bill those, and I am flying solo today. So a lot to get into. I don't even know where to start. First off, I forgot this episode, my bad, is brought to you by roots-recordings.com. And let's start with the offense. You're listening right now. Again, we're not going to go back 2 weeks or so. But the offense of late, anemic. I mentioned that word not too long ago. It's been absolutely pathetic. The Mets were on the brink of a no-hitter Saturday at home against the Braves. It would have been a combined no-hitter. And then J.D. Martinez hit a home run with two outs in the bottom of the ninth off of Rafael Iglesias and broke up the no-hitter. Didn't mean anything. They lost 4-1. Then the next day, talk about a roller coaster of emotions as a Met fan. Then the next day on Sunday on what was ESPN covering the game, you had Brandon Nimmo out of nowhere hitting a walk-off home run, which, again, was out of nowhere. And the next day, again, roller coaster, Mets were up 4-2 in a new series against the Phillies. And that seven-game stretch between the Braves for 3-4 and the Phillies going to be tough no matter what. They're better teams. We'll talk about my expectations for the Mets a little bit later. But up 4-2, ninth inning, Edwin Diaz blows the save. They lose in extra innings. So you went from almost being no hit to a walk-off home run on national TV to Edwin Diaz blowing his second save in his last four opportunities. And then on Tuesday, it was a complete game shutout for Aaron Nola against the Mets. The offense has been putrid. I mean, you can give out all the different adjectives you want, but everybody in the starting lineup, for the most part, their OPSs are in the sixes, not average for major league everyday players. The only ones who are above seven as I record this is Brandon Nimmo and Pete Alonso, and their averages are in the 220s. I mean, we could talk for hours about this offense, but their Achilles heel, we'll put it this way, their Achilles heel is their offense. Their bullpen has been great. Their starting rotation, other than the walks, has been good. I mean, you have Luis Severino, 3 ERA. Jose Budo, who was sent down to work on his command, 3.05 ERA. You have, other guys. Who am I forgetting who has pitched well for the Mets? Not Quintana. He has not been pitching well. Budo, Severino. Of course, we'll talk about this later as well. Christian Scott. Have to talk about this kid being a phenom and his stuff. So 60% of your rotation, not bad. Trevor McGill will be called up, and they're going to go with a six-man rotation as Joey Lucchesi was called up for the minor leagues to replace essentially Adrian Hauser, who got hot in the bullpen on Tuesday night, and they couldn't have him start in Philly on Wednesday. It was good to see Lucchesi pitch. He was killing it in the minor leagues, as he's done for the last 2 years coming off of his injury. Seven starts in the minors, AAA Syracuse, 2-1, a 2.54 ERA. Finally got a shot against the Phillies in the arena at Citizens Bank Ballpark, and it looks like they're going to go with the six-man rotation. For the most part, their rotation's been fine. It's the walks. And I'm forgetting Sean Manaea. He's also pitched well, too. He's limited the walks. So their rotation has basically been better than expected. But the one thing that I have to touch on is the lack, and this is for the entire pitching set, bullpen and starters. They can't keep any runners on. The Mets are worse in the major leagues in throwing out runners in terms of caught stealing, stolen base percentage. Worst. And it's not the catchers. It's not Alvarez, who's on the IL with the broken thumb. It's not Narvaez or Nito. It's on the pitchers. They can't hold runners. So my question to you, and I'm very adamant about this, what the hell happened to the pitch out? Obviously, they made the rules, changed all the rules to make it easier to steal bases. Literally, the bases are bigger. You only could throw over three times. You can't have as many disengagements. Yet, all this to improve stolen bases, and yet you don't see a pitch out. I mean, you literally know if a Ronald Acuna is going to be running or whoever, a Bryce Harper. Yet, when was the last time you saw a pitch out? I don't get it. That would be one thing to combat the Mets' putrid. Again, their offense has been bad. We'll get back to the offense a little bit. But when you're allowing anyone to steal the base, basically if you walk a batter, give up a single, it's an automatic double. That's T-ball. That's Little League. This is the major leagues. They asked Omar Navarez about it, and he said, I have no idea. I'm sorry. Bad answer. Someone's got to change this. There's got to be accountability, and there hasn't been. They got to change it. Can't have a walk be an automatic double. So that has to be worked on. And until right now, it hasn't been. And it can't play in the major leagues. It just can't. So back to the offense real quick. We could, like I said before, talk about it for hours. We are not. Bill is not with me as my co-host. So it'll be a little bit of abbreviated, normal Shea Low podcast. But let's start with Jeff McNeil for a second. What happened to Jeff McNeil? If you are watching me on YouTube, again, please subscribe at Shea Low Media or listening to us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, Google Chrome. You're a Mets fan or a baseball fan, and you know that Jeff McNeil won the batting title in 2022 in the NL. Then he signed a four-year deal, average of about $15 million a year. Seemed like a friendly, team-friendly deal. But after he signed that contract, Jeff McNeil has been bad. I'll call it like I see it. He's a good guy, but results are results. And McNeil just looks lost at the plate. He's been batting eighth right now. Was 2022, ask yourself this question, was 2022 for Jeff McNeil fluke? Since he won the batting title, he's not been good. They banned the shift. That could be part of it. I'm not going to say golf was part of it. He's a big golfer. He's great. He's got a career in it after he retires in baseball. But Jeff right now is an automatic out, and he's part of that core. And I know a lot of fans on Twitter are talking about, let's break up the core. Well, the core four, Nimmo, Alonso, Lindor, and McNeil. Nimmo and Lindor are not going anywhere. They got long-term deals. Lindor signed for 10 years, $341 million. He's got 7-8 more years. Nimmo's in, what, year three or two of an 8-year deal? He ain't going anywhere. Sorry. So I don't know how you break up the core other than McNeil, and we'll see what happens with Pete and his walk year. Long year. Pete's, you know, a power hitter. Got to get that batting average up. But we'll see what David Stearns does. We'll talk about Stearns and the moves he made in a little bit. But Jeff McNeil has to pick it up. Marte got off to a good start. But again, his OPS in the sixes right now is just not going to play. If you look up and down their lineup, these guys are not hitting at all. You had a walk-off by Nimmo, and then he went like, I believe 0 for 11 the next series. Pete was in a 1 for 30 whatever slump, and then he finally found it, had like five extra base hits in, I believe, five games. That was good to see. Pete, who now is in the number two hole, the two hole in the lineup, that is. You can get your thoughts out of the gutter, people. He's better when he goes to right field, and that's what he's been doing. So hopefully he keeps that up. And he also batted in number two in the lineup back in 2022 when the Mets offense, basically the same offense as this year, at least the core, were awesome. So where did it all go wrong? I literally, if you're not watching, I'm putting up my hands. I have no idea. Jeff McNeil, Marte, Lindor, Alonso, they're not hitting all at the same time. You don't score runs, you're not going to win. And imagine if they were hitting. Again, their pitching has been good. Let's talk about their bullpen. Reed Garrett, right now he's an all-star. He's got like an 0-40 ERA. Came out of nowhere. Billy Epler had some horrible signings, but he got Reed Garrett off of waivers late last year in 2023 from the Orioles. He's been great. Unfortunately, Brooks Raley has a UCL strain. I don't think we're going to see him again. Luckily, the Mets had another reliever that they signed, and Jake Dietman, but Raley's the better lefty in the bullpen. Again, I'd be surprised if we see him in 2024. Dietman's whatever, but Adam Ottavino's had a good year. Drew Smith has been okay, but he's been on the IL and he's had a setback. But Reed Garrett has really been the savior. Even Jorge Lopez, bounce back year candidate by David Stearns, having a very good year. Their bullpen is actually a strength, as you wouldn't think going into the year. And their pitching has been above expectations. Like I said, it's their offense. If they would all click at the same time, the Mets wouldn't be hovering, and that's what they're doing. Hovering around 500. And I guess that's what they are. I mean, we all thought, most people, I'm not going to put words in other people's mouths, but we thought the Mets were quote unquote punting in 2024. But then they signed JD Martinez and that took it all away. It took Martinez about, I would say, 3 weeks. Now he's batting around 300. The pop isn't there. He's got the one home run as I record this, but, he's batting cleanup, and he's just the consummate pro. He will hit around 280. He will strike out. The power will come. Once they signed JD Martinez, this wasn't a punt year. So that brings me to David Stearns. Now, there's a lot to talk about Stearns. We'll leave it with this. What I love about Stearns is a couple things. He's had some bad signings, but he, in my mind, is dropping his ego and being ruthless. AKA on Wednesday, they DFA'd Joey Wendell, who was an all-star in 2021, was making $2 million guaranteed, was a signing, one of the first by David Stearns, but he was absolutely terrible with the bat, surprisingly with the glove, and basically costing the Mets games. He was not doing well. But we are so used to other regimes, such as a Billy Epler, who would just stick with a Darren Ruff or a Daniel Vogelbach and other relievers and run them out and run them out. We have seen from David Stearns, he will cut you, release you, trade you, whatever, if you don't produce. And I didn't think he was going to do that with Wendell because that was his signing, but he did. And what was the corresponding move? Mark Vientos. So again, ruthless, as you can use any adjective you want, but Mark Vientos is back, and that's a whole other discussion with him and Beatty, who's still on the roster. But I love Stearns showing the Met fans that we do care. We're not punting. You don't produce, you're gone. He did that with Mike Tonkin, releasing him, bringing him back, DFAing him again. Did it twice with Johan Ramirez. He obviously just did it with Joey Wendell. Not afraid. I like it. We're so used to other general managers just running out the same crap. Stearns won't stand for it. Has Stearns made some signings that haven't panned out yet? Yeah. But quarter way through the year. However, 40 games into the year, quarter mark, what did Yogi Berra say? I believe it was him. It's getting late early. At a certain time, the Mets can't be 500. Around 500, that is okay because that will keep you in the wild card race. But if you're 500 and let's say 6 out of the last wild card, and it's not hard to make a wild card berth with, you know, 6 teams in the NL making it, David Stearns is going to trade everybody, literally everybody, and get whatever he can for them if the Mets are out of it. We have a long way to go until the deadline, which is August 1st. We are talking here mid-May, but it's getting late early. Mets can't fall behind being 10 under, 5 under. As we have seen so far, they'll win 3, they'll lose 2. They'll win 4, they'll lose 5. That's a 500 team, but it's also for a Met fan, man, a roller coaster of emotions. But that's what they are. They're a 500 team, and it really comes down to where they are in the standings around the deadline. So going back to Stearns, I like how he is cutthroat, not afraid to DFA guys who don't produce. And that leads me to the move of bye-bye Joey Wendell, and the Mets will be on the hook for his $2 million if no one signs him, and no one will because they could get him after for the minimum. And they brought up Mark Vientos, who has already been called up when Starling Marte was on the bereavement list. He was only up for 4 days. He had the walk-off home run, if you remember, in the day game to right center field. And a couple of days later, when Marte came back, they sent him back down. The problem is Brett Beatty, who first-round draft pick, last year, not good year. They sent him down to the minors. This year, started off well, had a hamstring injury, and ever since the hamstring injury, which he did not go on the IL, by the way, he hasn't been the same hitter. Brett Beatty is an automatic out right now. They brought up Mark Vientos. They are, as of right now, going to platoon at third base. So here's where I have a problem, a big problem, with David Stearns and everybody involved in this decision. Mendoza, the analytical team, whoever, you know, the minor league managers. You cannot develop players, young players, that is, if they're not playing every day. You cannot. So if you're going to bring up Mark Vientos, which they did, and I understand it was right after a complete game shutout, you know, where they had, what, four hits? That was the NOLA game. And they couldn't hit water if they fell off a boat. They couldn't hit sand if they fell off a camel. You know, all the analogies that you want. However, I understand the timing. Mets are playing the Phillies, the Marlins. Lefties are on the schedule. Vientos will play third. But then where's Beatty play? They didn't send him down to the minors. So now you're taking at-bats away, or development, I should say, away from Brett Beatty. They're best friends. And, well, now they're competing. So one of them isn't going to play. You're not going to take all that many at-bats away at DH from J.D. Martinez. I could see Brett Beatty coming in for defense late. And I will give my props to Brett Beatty. He turned himself into a very above-average third baseman. The problem with Vientos is that he's a liability at third base. If Vientos hits and plays third well, he'll play every day. But I don't understand how you could have both on the roster. Beatty can pitch hit. He can, you know, again, come in late for defense. But for development reasons, you got to play Vientos every day. It will be seen. After they have this run of lefties that they're facing, we'll see. Also, very interesting, they obviously DFA Joey Wendell. They don't, at the moment as I record this, have a middle infielder, the backup Lindor or McNeil. They get hurt. They got nobody to back them up. It'll be a one-day problem. They'll, you know, knock on wood, no one does get hurt, McNeil or a Lindor, but they would call up like a Jose Iglesias from AAA, who's hitting well and actually should be on this team up with the Mets. But we'll see how this Beatty Vientos on the team at the same time plays. They're both healthy. Beatty has not hit a lick. Vientos has that pop. And the Mets are desperate for pop. And that's why they brought up Vientos. We know how he's got the power. He's got the exit velocity. Beatty has shown he's been playing every day at third. He is just not a major league hitter right now. But maybe Beatty should have went back down to the minors. I don't know. But they kept Beatty up. We'll see how it plays. Mets are trying to win. They're trying to do whatever they can. And skipping to a couple things I wanted to talk about, and we'll go back to it real quick. The big thing that no one really is talking about is the injury to Francisco Alvarez. He broke his thumb, or tore a ligament in his thumb, rounding first base about a month ago, and it's a 2-month recovery. So Tomas Nito came up to replace him, and he's splitting time with Omar Narvaez. Nito's gotten the lion's share of playing time, and they're nothing compared to Francisco Alvarez. They don't provide the power. The defense is adequate for Nito. Again, no one's throwing out runners, and again, that's on the pitchers. But Omar Narvaez, man, like, what are you bringing to this team? Nothing. And that's why Nito, called up from AAA, is getting most of the starts. I would believe, if you've been following the Mets, when Alvarez gets healthy and is recalled or comes off the IL, now Omar Narvaez is going to be cut unless something drastic happens to Nito. But the point is here, Alvarez wasn't even having that great of a year to start offensively. but he is statistically the best defensive catcher they have in terms of team ERA when he starts. Frames very well. But the X factor with Alvarez is this. Swag, energy, all that. It's kind of like last year with Edwin Diaz. They missed that. And they're missing that this year right now with Alvarez. So maybe when he comes back, that bolt of energy will come back to the Mets. I don't know. But it's not happenstance coincidence that Alvarez got hurt and their offense went bye-bye. They have not won a series since L.A. on that long West Coast trip in April. They haven't won a series. So remember they started 0-5 and then, what, 6 in a row? They haven't been playing well ever since. They haven't won a series. I do think a big part of it is the injury to Francisco Alvarez. You got to remember, these guys play every day. They're a family. They travel together. You're in hotels. You're out to restaurants. They miss Alvarez out on the field leading as a catcher. I'll leave it at that. I just want to propel one thing with Alvarez as we talk about young prospects, Beatty, Vientos, Alvarez. Nobody is talking about the injury that occurred in the offseason to Ronnie Mauricio. Tore his ACL in winter ball. Big blow. Called up late last year. Had a spark. He would be giving a chance right now. Playing wherever. But he's out for the year. If probably. 99% sure. Very young. But no one talks about how big of an injury that is. In what a lot of Met fans say is a transition year. This would be the perfect year for a Ronnie Mauricio to have a little less pressure on him and see what he has in the major leagues. But again, call me crazy. Go ahead. Casey's crazy. Nobody's bringing up Ronnie Mauricio's name. Is it just me? Go on YouTube at Shaldo Media and you could comment on this episode when it's uploaded. Tell me what you think about Ronnie Mauricio. Tell me what you think about Vientos coming up and Beatty being on the roster. Tell me what you think about the Mets overall. In a nutshell, they're a 500 team, but again, it's getting late early. So they got to start putting better strings together and not having these, you know, being shut out or one out away from a no-hitter or Aaron Nola going into the sixth inning with a perfect game. I like Stearns being ruthless. We got to touch very quickly before we do get into the mailbag. We have to talk about Kodai Senga. And also, Joey Lucchesi was called up on Wednesday to replace Hauser. And I love how, and we touched upon it earlier, love Lucchesi, the lefty, who honestly should have been up earlier. So pitching in the rain against Philly, Lucchesi's in the rotation. I like how Stearns is going to the young guys. But the biggest young guy, and I promise you we would talk about it, Christian Scott. Came kind of out of nowhere like Jacob DeGrom. Wednesday was a 10-year anniversary of Jacob DeGrom, arguably the second-best pitcher, third-best pitcher in Mets history, to make his MLB debut in that doubleheader against the New York Yankees. And he didn't look back ever since. Christian Scott, kind of like that. Never really heard of him. And then he blossomed last year in the minors. Started off in AAA this year, was amazing in terms of K-to-walk ratio. They called him up. As of right now, he's got a ERA in the twos. He's been as advertised. His stuff plays. Getting no run support reminds me of DeGrom. He's given up 2 runs at most in his first 2 starts, and the Mets scored a total of 2 runs. I believe Diaz blew one of those games. And we will talk about Diaz real quick, about what's going on with him. But Christian Scott, his stuff plays. Plus fastball, his secondary pitches with that fastball, it clocks at 96, but it feels like he's throwing in 100. If you watch him, you know what I mean. Christian Scott here is the real deal, in my opinion, and he's here to stay. Late bloomer, 25, was a reliever. He went to the University of Florida, just like Alonzo, Harrison Bader. They made him a starter. He's taken off. He's looked great. And I'm excited for Christian Scott and what the Mets have, because we always talk about the prospects offensively with the Mets. We don't talk about pitching. And Christian Scott is legit. So hopefully, knock on wood, He stays healthy, and Christian Scott will be that ace that the Mets are looking for. Why ace? We'll touch on it now before we get into that mailbag. Kodai Senga has not thrown a pitch this year. Before the year, he had a shoulder injury. It was a capsule. But then he started throwing bullpens, and then he was ready for rehab starts. And his timeline was early June, which is coming up. Out of nowhere last week, he said he doesn't want to go to rehab starts. He's healthy, but his mechanics feel off. I don't know the last time a pitcher said, I'm healthy, but I don't want rehab starts. I want to work on my mechanics. If he's healthy, let's go. I can't touch on what goes on in Japan and their mindset. He's different. He needs, he pitches every 6 days. I get Senga knows himself the best. It's just a little fishy how he's healthy, but they're going very, very slow. And you know he wants to get back. It's just weird. And the quotes that I was reading about, the Mets are learning about Kodai Senga. I mean, guy's making $75 million on a five-year contract. If you're healthy, fine-tune your mechanics while pitching the live batters. You need more bullpens? It just seems a little bit fishy to me. And that's all I'll say on Senga. We hope that he gets back earlier than later. But, until we see it, whatever. We know how it goes in Mets land. The last thing I want to touch upon before we get into the mailbag, we talked about Christian Scott. I want to talk about Diaz. Edwin Diaz is not the pitcher that we thought he was in 2022. However, he's given up 4 home runs already in the quarter of the year, and he gave up 3 all of 2022. Of course, he missed all of 2023, blowing out his knee in the WBC. Don't get me started on the WBC. I'll go off crazy. However, it takes time for guys. Even he says he's healthy, he feels great, but you see his stuff isn't there. The velo is there. When he gave up those runs and then blew the save against the Phillies earlier this week, his velo hit 99, but he cannot command the pitches that he once did. So his secondary pitches right now aren't playing, and this is the major leagues. So I'm not worried about Edwin Diaz until if he keeps doing this, obviously, but people should recognize you're coming back from a huge injury. He hasn't pitched in over a year. He just picked up last week his first win in extra innings since 2022. You just have to recognize it takes, especially pitchers who miss a lot of time, a little bit of, give them a little extra leeway. That's all I'll say. Not worry about Diaz. Yeah, has he blown 2 out of his last 4 save opportunities? Yes. Has he cost the Mets games early? Yes. Is it frustrating? Yes. Is he going to repeat 2022, which arguably was an historic year for reliever? No. But what concerns me, he's already given up 4 home runs, and we have seen the bad Edwin Diaz way long ago when he was traded over from the Mariners with, dare I say, Robinson Cano. And he got paid for pitching so well. 5 years, $100 million. It was the richest contract for a reliever until Josh Hader beat it. So hopefully Edwin Diaz gets it under control, because we said all offseason, Bill and I, that a healthy Edwin Diaz anchoring the back end of the bullpen is huge. But Diaz is not right now looking good, but he'll iron it out. You just have to trust. It takes a little time after being out for so long. So those are my thoughts as the quarter of the season is basically through. They're in the middle of the 7-game stretch, Braves, Phillies. And again, our offense has to pick it up. They brought up extra pop with Vientos. We'll see how that plays out with Beatty. They'll get back Alvarez, but hopefully it's not too late, because we know that ex-GM Billy Epler, we know current president of baseball operations, David Stearns, will trade if they're not going anywhere at the deadline. So without further ado, we're going to get into a couple questions that were sent at Shay_hello on Twitter. Please follow us on Twitter at Shay_hello. We always throw it out there. If you have questions for Bill or myself, we will answer it live on the air. Bill is not here, so we will still answer the questions, and we'll put it out next week, and you can answer. And again, we will read your questions live on the air. Not every question we can do for time reasons, but we'll get to, let's say, three of them or so right now. All right, first one. Big fan of the show. I'm also a big fan of his show, Baseball and Barbecue. Jeff Cohen has a question for Bill and Casey. I'm just going to answer it for Bill, in my opinion. He asked Bill, I can't stand when ESPN is mic'd up and they're mic'd up with position players and talk to them while they're on the field. Your thoughts? That was for Bill. I'm going to answer it. Yeah, ESPN overdoes it. It's a little odd because they literally are mic'd up while playing, and it's a little, it gives you a little agita. Like if they're talking to a Nimmo and the ball's hit to him, it's a little weird. My issue with ESPN and the interviews is that they overdo it. It's almost like an interview, 3-hour interviews with a game in the background. That's, they are interviewing everybody. So they overdo it. Have the managers once the game, which they do anyway, but don't mic up 4 different players during the game. I can listen to a game, which is crowd noise, as if you were at the game. You know, ESPN overdoes it. That's my opinion. Thank you for that question, Jeff. His question to me is, Casey, it's barely 40 games into the season, yet social media wants to trade Pete Alonso. Are those fans making the posts overreacting? Absolutely. I touched on this earlier. It's a 162 game season. Yeah, it's a walk year for Pete. He has extra pressure. Reportedly, he turned down a contract offer for $158 million for 7 years in the offseason. It was reported by Joel Sherman, very reliable source. He's betting on himself, just like Aaron Judge did in his walk year. And Aaron Judge went on to break the AL record for home runs, MVP, parlayed that to $40 million a year for 9 years. Pete Alonso is betting on himself, which I respect. A lot of players do it. Pete Alonso's a power hitter. He's going to hit 40 home runs in his sleep. But to answer your question, Jeff, yes, the people on Twitter, on social media, are overreacting about trading Alonso. A, you're not going to get his worth back if you ever traded Pete Alonso, regardless of what you get back for him. And also, once you trade a player, especially a homegrown player who's meant so much to the Mets over his 5-plus years in the majors, it's a little weird how players been traded and come back. Yeah, like Aroldis Chapman, Yankees, Cubs. But he hired Scott Boras for a reason. He's betting on himself. We got plenty of baseball left. He wasn't off to the best start, but I believe in Pete. How can you not? He's a fan favorite. His work ethic is top notch. Just got to get that batting average up. His OPS will be fine. He's above average, in my opinion, fielder. He is. Debate me if you want. Really turned around his defense from his debut back in 2019. So, yeah, thank you for the questions, Jeff. They are overreacting. Let's get to 2 more questions for time reasons. Let's go with Jake 12889, as he has been a fixture here in the mailbag. He asked for Bill, and I'll answer this. Pretend it's for me. He wrote, Bill, what would you say to a fellow lefty like Joey Lucchesi, who's pitching well in the minors but can't get called up? Must be tough. Well, that he nailed it. Joey Lucchesi was called up. So, Jake, props to you, buddy. He was finally rewarded to being called up on Wednesday against the Phillies. First, gave up a home run in the first inning to Bryce Harper, settled down after that. I've always liked Lucchesi. They have McGill coming back and Peterson, but as of right now, I trust Lucchesi more. If healthy, he's always produced. But you nailed it before, predicted the future. Lucchesi's up, so he's not in the minors. So good call, Jake. Thank you for the question. One more question, and it is JK at NYMGI. He has a question for both, obviously. I'll answer it because Bill is not here. Oh, man, this is a tough one. He's setting me up with this one. His question. Question for both. Soto, Alonso, Corbin Burns. Mets can sign two of the three. Who are your individual picks? Well, the reason he asked this, and thank you, JK, they're free agents after 2024. And coincidentally, they're all represented by Scott Boras, who had a horrible offseason in terms of his free agent signings. We don't have to talk about that. We already did. Jordan Montgomery literally already fired him. But to answer your question, if I only could have two of the three, wow. I mean, this is such a tough question. Obviously, the Mets are going to make a play for Soto. Obviously, the Yankees are going to make a play for Soto. There's only so many teams that can afford Juan Soto. So that cuts out 85%, 90% of teams. You know, who can afford? He's going to get $600 million, Juan Soto. He's arguably going to win the MVP right now in the AL if he keeps this up. Mets are going to make a play for him. The question is, can the Mets sign Soto and Pete? So I'm going to answer it this way. I have a lot of thoughts on this, but I'm going to say two out of three, I'm going Soto and Alonso and not Burns. Why not Burns? He was on the Brewers and he had a big fallout with David Stearns when he had to go to arbitration after he winning the Cy Young for the Brewers. He's now on the Orioles. He's a free agent. I don't think he wants to be reunited with David Stearns. I don't know how their relationship is, but let's replace him with Max Fried, who's the ace of the Braves. He's a free agent. That's my answer. I went around the question, but I answered it fairly. Soto, Alonso, Max Fried, and Burns can sign elsewhere. I like Max Fried. He's a lefty. He's young. When healthy, he's great. That's my answer. Great question, by the way. Appreciate that. So thank you all who wrote in. Again, follow us on Shea_hello on Twitter. We will answer your questions live on the air. Bill will be back next week, so you can ask Bill whatever you like. And just to wrap up everything, we got a lot of baseball left, guys. The Mets are a 500 team, but they will be in contention if they are there in the middle of July. But like I said twice before, it's getting late early. So again, that's why they cut a Joey Wendell, brought up a Mark Vientos. They can't go on a run where they lose 10 out of 12. They'll be out of it. But they just will. So these games are big in middle of May. And, you know, again, we all know that they've had a tough schedule, but they're a 500 team, in my opinion. However, if they are around 500 at the deadline, maybe the Mets will be buyers. You never know. Because I have said this throughout. Once you get into the playoffs, the dance, quote unquote, anything can happen. Look at the Diamondbacks last year, 84, 86 wins as the last wild card in the NL and all the way to the World Series. Just get in. So a lot of baseball left. We will be here for it all on the Shea Hello podcast. We're going to wrap things up. I want to remind you, please follow us audio-wise wherever you get your podcasts. Type in Shea Hello podcast, Spotify, Apple, Google Chrome, wherever. And please subscribe, like, share on YouTube at Shea Hello Media. I want to thank our producer, Stephen White. He's got a podcast, Cold Hard Pop. Check it out. Type it in on YouTube. Very enjoyable. I follow. I subbed. Very interesting current topics they talk about. Thank you behind the scenes to Stephen White. Again, Bill Pulsifer will be back with us next week. So will I. So for Stephen White, my name is Casey Lynn, saying so long until next time.